Welcome to If You Even Care. Thank you for being here with me. Mere hours before the snowstorm of the century comes and wipes the East Coast off the map? I'm not really sure. What I think is supposed to happen is 8 to 12 inches of snow. That's a lot of snow. The feeling I'm getting between TikTok, the amount of texts I'm getting from places that for some reason want me to order food during a snowstorm, is that like we are in peril, but also 10% off on DoorDash. We are in imminent danger, but the Chinese food place around the corner said, hey, stay in this weekend. We'll do the cooking. The fucking weed store wants me to come through. I haven't seen you in I don't know how long. You haven't seen me. Hit me up before a snowstorm when I'm probably the most vulnerable. I'm scared. I don't know how scared to be, though. I went into a store to try to get the essentials, grab a case of water, bag of Doritos, box of electrolytes because I'm an adult. And people are just running all over the place, everywhere. It doesn't seem like anyone has an objective. They're not sure where they're running to, where they're running from. They're just running. Literally walking into the store, baby in hands, drop the baby. Kerplat. And then they start running. They're just running. I don't understand half the shit that I saw in the store, which is really making me feel like it might be me. Like maybe I don't know what's going on. Because I feel like, you know, if you're in a crowd of people and you see six people start running one way, I'm going to start running. Because I don't know what you're running from, but I'm not going to wait and find out. Maybe that's the mentality I should have here is like, where are we going? But I can't tell what everyone's running for. All I know is we've sold out all the perishables. How long do you guys think we're going to be in the house? We're supposed to be stuck, I think, actually like snowed in Sunday. And then Monday maybe might be tough to navigate because there's going to be so much of it. And then the thing about snow is that it melts. So at some point, we will be free to leave our homes. And that point would probably be sometime next week. Unless you're that lady on TikTok with the six giant teenage sons, why are we buying 12 cases of water for a single day that we'll be trapped inside? What are you preparing for? And why is nobody telling me? No one's telling me shit. They haven't told me dick. I'm just like a fool, electrolytes and Doritos. How many cases of water should I be grabbing? What do you guys know? Because literally, why are we buying out the tomatoes? Why are the tomatoes all gone? How scared am I supposed to be? I don't know. I'm like freaked out. I'm a little anxious. Should I just lean into it fully? That's what I'm thinking about doing. I'm thinking about just fully freaking the fuck out. I mean, if the power goes out, I don't know what's going to happen. If the power goes out, I'm going to play on my iPad. If my iPad dies, who are we eating? Okay, who do we have to eat? Who's going first? Because biscotti is technically making a guest appearance. First and probably only guest to ever come on here. Who's going first, me or biscotti? Whoever catches the other first, I guess. Imagine being the first person in a group of people. You're stranded and it's at the point where you're like, okay, someone needs to pitch the idea of like, we might need to eat each other to stay alive. And you decide to be that person. And then everyone else is kind of like, I mean, we're not really that hungry yet. I'm a little peckish, sure, but I don't think any of us were really thinking about going that far yet. Right. No, so I'm the big back. No. Right. No, and we'll just eat me first, I guess, because I got plenty of back to spare. Just thought, you know, it's been 24 hours and a girl's got to eat at some point. That's fine. It's literally a metaphor for love, but you guys never saw Bones at all? That's fine. If my iPhone dies, if my iPad dies, who are we eating? Like, I don't, the rich, my upstairs neighbors, they would definitely get me first. I know that for a fact. Let me tell you something, and let me tell it to you quieter, because I have convinced myself that everyone in the surrounding apartments can hear me too. When you live beneath somebody, when you're a first floor neighbor, I expect to hear people living their life. I would never expect anything otherwise. I expect noise. I expect to hear footsteps. I expect all of that. I'm not unreasonable. There was a fight that happened for hours in the dead of night. Couldn't sleep. So I was just there, I guess. I'm there. I feel like I'm mediating. And at some point, the fight ends. Abruptly, silence. And then music starts playing. They exclusively listen to, like, radio pop hits from, like, 2008 to 2015. I'm not even exaggerating. That's it. Nothing from the 2020s on, nothing. It's a lot of Adele and Pitbull, and I'm not necessarily complaining. It's just they only have one playlist. I thought maybe it was over. I thought that ended very suddenly, but I'm thankful because now I can go to sleep. And then they start playing their playlist, and I hear fucking To See You Again, the Paul Walker song. Oh, I want to go to sleep so bad. And now I can't, both because the sound, it's so loud, and then also because I am perplexed. I can't get over what the fuck I'm hearing. Some people are living a life you could not imagine if you tried. That's what's up with me. So for the time being, I'm trying to just, I think I said this last episode too, but just so you're aware, I'm just trying to get these out in within a week. I don't know what day I'm ever going to be able to do it until one of us fucking goes. Hopefully me at some point. I like my apartment, though. It's just I can't live like that. To go back to talking about the stores for just a second, you know how there are people who, like, you sometimes wouldn't even expect it from them, but they are unnecessarily rude to wait staff, and they, like, they don't put their grocery cart back, and those are things that you kind of watch for in a person that you're getting to know because you just want to know that they're, like, a kind person or decent. Are there people who kind of treat stores that same way? Like, if you drop something in a store, do you pick it up? If you unfold a shirt, do you fold it and put it back, or do you just throw it on top of the pile? Because who is trashing these stores? Somebody's doing it, and it can't always be children, because sometimes it's stuff that children can't even reach. It's like a whole thing of mascaras just on the ground. The thing, the rack is still there, but all of the mascaras are just scattered all over the floor. How did that happen? What the fuck are people doing? I think there are people that just, like, they drop shit and they just, and that's whatever. I guess it depends. If it goes underneath something or whatever, you're like, somebody will find it at some point. But, like, to drop, like, a whole case of something, like, who's doing this? I know it can only be children. They literally cannot reach half the shit. I have to think that would be one of the biggest, reddest flags that you could find in a person, is if they go to the store and they just make a mess. Same thing with bathrooms, but, like, you know, people always say about the women's bathroom that the seat, why is it always covered in piss? It's because people are squatting, but then they don't turn the fuck around to, like, look and make sure they got it in. You don't have aim assist, so, like, you're going to have to check and see, you know, did you squirt? Like, did you squirt on the seat? And they don't. I can't imagine doing that because I feel responsible for the bathroom when I leave. When I leave, whatever state it's in, the next person that comes in, I know that they're holding me responsible. They are now forever. Even if they never see me again, I'm piss girl to them. I'm wet toilet paper bunched up on the floor girl. I'm whoever like wiped and then like threw it behind them towards the bowl, but it didn't get in the bowl and it hit the floor. And now nobody's going to pick it up because they know it has pee on it. I'm her. That was me. And I'm also one of those people who, when I leave the bathroom, I go, that was not me. Like, just to make sure you're aware, just in case we did ever see each other again. I'm not piss girl. I didn't do that. It's important to me that you know that I didn't do that. There are people that just don't care because it's someone else's problem. And I think that's a little bit scary. That could be reading too much into it. I don't know. I don't personally think so. I think that there's like levels to it. Again, drop something, it rolls underneath something, whatever. In a TJ Maxx, I hold nobody responsible because I think the store comes trashed. I think when they open up in the morning, I think the employees are just trying to disassociate for the entirety of their shift to get through it. No, now that I'm thinking about it, Marshall's is the real culprit. Marshall's has the things on the shoes that beep completely destroyed. I don't blame those associates if they just look around at the end of the day and go, fuck this, and just close up and go home, because I would too. It's beyond repair. They actually need to take down the Marshalls and build them back up, build them anew, because there's just no repairing that. And who would for less than 20 something dollars an hour? Not me. Fuck that. If you go into a Marshall's and you drop something, it's gone. You've no idea where it went. You pick up a mascara off the rack and it falls. It's falling into an abyss. Good luck spending hours combing through expired food and Cookie Monster towels and Hello Kitty merchandise. You're never going to see that shit again. But I do think that treating servers horribly is a good indicator of whether someone is evil or not. Because why are you yelling at a server about something they didn't cook? Why are you freaking the fuck out because they forgot to offer you a refill? Just ask for it. It's never been that serious and it never will. It's very shocking when you go out to eat with somebody and you find out that they're that person and you didn't expect it. That has happened to me before. I went with someone to Cheesecake Factory. We both got the exact same thing. It was like flattened chicken breasts, like Parmesan crusted chicken. It was disgusting. And I never send my food back, like ever. I'd rather just not eat it. But that was like, I took one bite and I was like, that's actually, like, there was something about it that tasted off. So I was like, I can't do it. I mentioned something to the waitress. We both did. And we both did it in completely different ways. And that was, I'd kind of seen that a little bit where like we'd go out to eat together and she'd always kind of be like, it was okay. You ate it all, but all right. Nothing was ever good. It was always just the best that it was, it was okay. Yeah, it was all right. Most of the time, there was something really wrong with whatever it was that she bought. You spend money on something, you want to get something that you like. I understand that. But if you're fucking 1,000 and 0, why are you still going? Why are you continuing to eat anywhere except for home? You never like anything. Just make it yourself. So we both sent our chicken back. The way she made this server so fucking anxious, and then she avoided us for like 40 minutes, and which made her more upset. And I was like, of course she's avoiding us. I would too. I would not come back to this table until I could breathe again. Or like finding out someone's a bad tipper. You're crazy. Because again, I don't want to be piss girl. I'm not going to be no tip girl. That's not happening. I am associated with that. If someone wasn't going to leave a tip or leave a really shitty one, I would want to know about it so that I can leave the fucking tip then, since you're so cheap. You could have taken that shit to go. You're still supposed to tip. But if you're one of those people, maybe you feel like, well, they didn't serve me, so whatever. You are supposed to tip, take out people. But you know, go buy a frozen version of it. Go buy it, heat it up yourself at home. Follow a blog recipe. But no, you want to pay to sit down and be served, have your stuff brought to you, be checked on, not have to think about the process. You just want to have it brought to you, taken away. That's what you're tipping for. And then some people will do the whole like, well, that's not really how people should be making their money. They shouldn't be relying on the customer. They should be just getting paid hourly. Okay. Lots of things shouldn't happen that are happening. And that's just the way it is at this time. You're not boycotting restaurants so that they change their ways. You're just going and then being like, I'm not going to fucking pay you. Why is that my problem? Just because I knew that that's the way that things are set up and I came here anyway? Like, would I have to pay you just because I'm supposed to pay you and that's how things go? No. They think just because they won't get arrested if they leave the restaurant without tipping that it's like, not that bad. We are throwing darts at a picture of your face in the back. And we took a picture of your face. Yeah, that's what they do at restaurants. They take a picture of your face. Mm-hmm. You might be in the back of a restaurant getting darted. So I was telling a story to someone the other day, and it got me thinking about the fact that I actually have two, kind of three stories about times when someone was going through a breakup and I somehow got thrown under the bus. So I was like, save it for the podcast. If you even care, if you care at all. These are a couple stories for you. First of all, I don't know if any of you will have had this experience too, but I've had it more than once where someone's going through a breakup and you're trying to like talk them through it, let them talk it out. And you're like, listen, I understand. And they're like, no, you don't get it. That was my best friend. Like, they were my best friend. Like, yeah, I do get it, actually. Most people do get it. Or they go like, no, we were like soulmates. Like their pain is just so unfathomable. And it kind of does feel like that when you're going through heartbreak, to be fair. Heartbreak and grief, they always feel like it's just happening to you in the moment because you get to be a little dramatic. You're going through a breakup, you get to be only so dramatic, but dramatic nonetheless. Spotlight's on you, girl, and you get it for a couple of days. And then at some point, we gotta pick you up and we gotta get back on the horse. There's a window of time where you're allowed to have a meltdown. And then after that, you just have to return to life, to real life. And you'll still have moments where you'll pass something that you went to with them or something reminds you of them, or you're drunk and you start crying, you're going to sleep and you just get sad. It's going to happen until one day it just doesn't. But as far as like the drama of the breakup, you only really got a couple of days, a week, where you can really be losing your mind. And then after that, it starts to get scary. So that's something I've heard a few times. Like, we were... No, like, you don't understand. That was my best friend. Like, we were actually best friends. And then it ends up being someone who, like, treated them so poorly. Like, behavior that they would never put up with from a friend. Like, there's a lot of situations where, you know, you hear about someone having a fight with a friend and they get cut off immediately. Like, they don't try to talk about it. There's no resolve. It's just they have an argument and then that person cuts them off. But they will have 1,000 fights with their partner. And for some reason, that patience and understanding isn't extended towards friendship. They just expect friendships to just be even, work out all the time. I say that also knowing you shouldn't have friendships that are like super volatile. No different than relationships in that regard too. Like a friendship where like we fight like sisters and it's just constant arguing. That I've never had one of those, but I've seen it. And I don't think that that's supposed to be how it goes either. I don't even like to fight with my own sister, my actual sister. We fought a couple of times, like counting on one hand throughout our life. And every single time I felt like I was gonna die because it just felt terrible to be in a bad place with her. It's crazy when it's like, that was not your best friend. You were dating Joffrey. There's no way that that was your best friend. they weren't even nice to you. When it's one of those where it's like, that's what you think your soulmate would be, whatever you believe in, whether that's fate, God, the universe, whatever, you think that that would pair you, intertwine your soul with someone who treated you really badly? Why? Why would you think that that's what you deserve? But again, patience. You get a couple of days to be dramatic. I can't be that dramatic. I have been very dramatic after a breakup, like most people, but that's like too much. Like, yeah, best friends. Best friends as in the thing that everybody writes under as a caption for their anniversary. Best friends. Normally, if you like somebody, you like being around them and you're attracted to them, you date them and you feel like that's your best friend. Now, I knew someone, we worked together and we were friends in the way that like we would talk to each other at work and we would go out drinking together. Like we had a big group that we would go out with. And it wasn't like the kind of thing where we'd really text each other that often. We wouldn't like go see a movie together. We wouldn't like go grab food or just hang out together at the house. It wasn't one of those. It was just friends. One day we had plans to go out after work that night and she comes to me and a friend and she tells us that her and her boyfriend broke up. I said, thank God. Thank God. I am so sorry, girl. I'm so sorry to hear that. Are you okay? Thank God. Like this man, she would bring him out, or I don't really think, if I really look back on it, I don't think she was bringing him out so much as she wouldn't tell him not to come out and that she just wanted to be with her friends. And he would come probably to keep an eye on her and babysit her, make sure she doesn't cheat on him or whatever. And the whole time he would just stand in the corner, looming over us and bitching, commenting on every fucking thing that we did, complaining the entire night. He never tried to make conversation with any of us. I don't even think it was a socially anxious thing. I think he just didn't want to be around her dumbass friends. He didn't want to interact with us, but he also wanted to make sure his girlfriend didn't cheat on him or do anything to embarrass him. So he would come out and every fucking thing he'd complain about. Oh my God, the drinks are taking so long. Can we just go? Can we just leave them here in front of us? Like he's saying this in front of us. Can they just meet us there? When are we going to go to the next place? What time are we leaving? Go home. Leave that man at home. Set out some newspaper, a little bit of dry food, a little bit of wet, and some water. He'll be fine. Leave the TV running. He will be okay. He doesn't have to be here. And if he wants to be here for the sole purpose of not dancing, not talking, not enjoying himself, but just watching you, tell him no. Say no. You can't come. It's just me and my friends. But they would just, you know, be complaining. They both get drunk. They start fighting. They go home before everybody else. Same thing, copy paste every time. But the first half of the night that we would actually get to be around her was fun. So, and nobody can be like, don't bring your boyfriend. The vibe is very much, don't bring your boyfriend. But we can't say it. We just can't do that. Or if we could, we didn't exercise that right. So we're like, okay. So, you know, if you are going through it right now, you don't want to come out later, completely understand. And she's like, no, I want to go out. She doesn't just want to go out. She wants to go out and meet a new guy. Okay, all right, sure, whatever you want, whatever is going to help you through this, perfectly fine. And we're excited because we want to go out with her, especially without him, even better. She was being very brave because going out after you have had your heart broken feels like being forced to have fun at gunpoint. It feels like, you know, you're out, you're dancing, and if you were to look down, you would see the shadow of an anvil slowly falling upon your head. Your friend is handing you a green tea shot and you're all cheersing to the demise of a person that you loved very deeply until very recently. And the whole time you can hear the whistle as the anvil gets closer. And then sometime around midnight, it's going to bonk you on the head. And you're going to fold up like a human accordion. Meaning you're going to be in the bathroom crying. That's what happens in this situation. She's perfectly fine first half of the night. We're actually having a lot of fun. And then we get a little too drunk and she's crying. So we rush her to the bathroom. We're just doing your typical drunk bathroom pep talk. Fuck him. Fuck that relationship. Fuck her and fuck you. Just pointing at people in the bathroom. Fuck this bitch and fuck you too. We're like, just fuck it. Like, you deserve better kind of thing. The only thing that's making her feel better and stop crying is like roasting this man and being like, you know what? He wasn't fun anyway. Our friend is like, yeah, and he wore high waters and just whatever we kind of try to get her to laugh and just stop crying. And it works. So then she joins in on the roasting. Except she just kind of starts telling us very personal things about him. Things that someone shouldn't know about you if they don't love you. Only someone who loves you should ever know these details about your past. Because I don't like him. And now I don't like him and I pity him, which is a horrible combination. I would never want someone to feel that way about me. And now I feel that way about him. She's just dropping bombs on us. shit that we did not want to know. It's like, it's some dark shit. And that's kind of the scary thing about like being in a long-term relationship is someone's just out there with all this information about you. And they could be drunk in a bathroom telling people they don't even really know that well in front of a lot of people that they don't know at all. There are other people in the bathroom while she's saying this to us. And we're just trying to receive it, process it. She's saying it kind of like, this is why he's so messed up and fuck him. And, you know, almost like it's a little bit funny, but it's not really funny. It's just really sad. And she's like, you know what? I'm feeling a lot better. Like, let's go back out there. Perfect. Let's go. So we go back out and he's there because she texted him to come. Not only do I not want to be seeing him, but I have to see him and through a new lens. I don't want to fucking see you at all, let alone through a new lens. That's bullshit. I'm not supposed to know any of this about you. We're still shell-shocked. We're just standing with the group. And at some point, they start, like, talking and they wander off somewhere. Probably start arguing, if I had to guess, based on how he came back. He comes up to us and he goes, I heard you had some stuff to say about me and my relationship. We had stuff to say. We did? And I understand the situation I'm in, right? I'm looking around. I can see the wolves. I can see that I have been thrown to them. And I will get to the wolves in a minute. We had shit to say about you? She said you wear high waters. Do you have any idea what she said? And also, oh, the big balls on you. Oh, here comes big ball man with his giant balls. Coming to confront two drunk women who were just trying to make their crying friend feel better. Pretty basic breakup talk, by the way. Nothing too crazy. You know you're a douchebag, right? You come and hang out with us, we'll hang out. You come and watch us, stand in the corner and complain the whole time. You've never tried for even a second to get to know any of us. You don't even laugh at jokes we're making. You just don't want to be there. What are we supposed to do with that? You guys fight constantly. She comes and tells us about it. You guys fight while we're out. And we're going, hey, maybe that's not a good relationship. Based on the fact that it's not a good relationship. And then here comes this guy. Why the fuck are you saying it's not a good relationship? We were kind of just like, we don't care about you and your fucking relationship. She was crying. Fuck you. This is one of those things where when you look back on something that was years ago, you wish you could just jump into that memory and say something a little better. I wish that I had, I mean, we stood our ground, but I wish that I had really like gone for the jugular, both of you, because she went to him and was like, this is all the stuff they're saying about you and about us. There are some couples that are like that. They're very like, it's us against the world. And the world doesn't care. And it just keeps spinning. And no one gives a shit. I think that they were one of those. So did they get back together? Of course they did. Did I learn from that that I needed to remove myself from her? Yes. So that's what happened. She would still come to me and still like kind of try to talk about it. Come to my friend, try to talk to her about it. We would listen. But it was more of like a, that sucks. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, so what now? He's going to come back up to us and go, why are you saying that sucks? What, because it sucks? You think you could say it sucks? How did you think that would go? And you aren't even drunk. You did that sober. There was a different friend in a different time who also threw me to the wolves. Love those wolves. We've gotten real close over the years. She was texting me about her boyfriend. Horrible boyfriend. This is not like, neither one of these situations is like, yeah, he was a little whatever, you know, this wasn't that nice to me personally. No, these are pretty like, this one especially, pretty extreme situation. Horrible person, horrible together, horrible relationship. I had a front row seat to the whole thing, so I feel pretty comfortable saying that. She's texting me about an issue they're having. Texting me knowing that I do not like this guy. And for really good reason. She's texting me about him and going, what should I do? So, okay, so now you've brought me into it. What should you do? I'm going to be honest with you. I think that this is a bad relationship and I think that you should get out of it while you can. I'm like, this is not a good guy. Look at A, B, C, D, E, F, G even. H-I, like, look at the evidence that's piling up against him. It's not good. I know you really like him. She was infatuated with this guy, but he fucking sucked. And she knew it too. So we're texting back and forth. She shows him the text. I'm finding out he hates me because he saw our conversation. How did he see our conversation? She fucking showed it to him. Why would you tell me that? There was a time not long before that where I was already kind of getting to the point where I'm like, we're probably not going to be friends for that much longer. I don't see this friendship lasting. And part of it, a big part of it, was because of the fact that she was bringing this guy around. We all go to a concert together. She really wants us to get along. I know in the back of my mind that we won't ever, but something happens where the tickets get lost. Their tickets, not mine. She paid for them. He still loses his fucking mind. And he runs off into the city. Okay, hissy fit. Fine. At some point, he reappears because she goes online and buys more tickets. We go to the concert. The next day, there's some kind of fight that happens between them again. And he once again runs off into the city. Disappears. All right. Now what? So she's trying to get him to come back. He won't. I can't remember if he just was ignoring her texts and calls or if he was just being really vague over text. Both of them kind of sound like something he would do. So we have to go back home and he's just not answering. We have no idea where the fuck he is. So during this whole time, I'm kind of like, girl, you got to look at the situation. Like, this is not how things are supposed to be. This is not good. He knows that you need to leave and he's still just fucking around. Like, does he want you to leave without him? We both gotta go. It's been hours. Where the fuck is he? So we're having all these talks and she's kind of seeming like she's having a moment, like, okay, yeah, maybe this is really bad kind of moment. Like, realizing things, starting to come to the conclusion that this is a bad relationship for her. At some point, he comes back. Finally, we get to fucking leave. And I'm thinking, we just had a pretty good conversation about this. Like, I really hope that this stuck with her. And I hope that she wasn't just you know, saying whatever because she was mad in the moment. I hope that she really does believe that she deserves better than this person. We're in the car for a couple of minutes. She gets her phone. Nobody's speaking. I'm in the back seat. Also, why am I in the back seat? Now that I'm looking back at this, why the fuck am I in the back seat? He ran off into the city. Whatever. But he can have passenger. Shotgun. Fuck you. Fine, he can sit there. I'm in the back seat. None of us are talking. And I watch her take her phone and put on The Heart Wants What It Wants by Selena Gomez. The lyrics. Save your advice, cause I won't hear. You might be right, but I don't care. There's a million reasons why I should give you up, but the heart wants what it wants. Girls, this fucking play about us. What are we doing right now? What is this? You're sending a message. I don't know if it's to me or to him, but seen, heard, like basically telling me in song, yeah, that was a nice little talk that we had, but I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing with this guy. So, and at some point while the song is playing, they start holding hands. I'm going to jump out the fucking window. We just stood around in Philadelphia with nothing to do for hours because he disappeared, literally ran away. Oh my God. The fuck am I supposed to do? I know that when that song started playing, I had to like, oh my God. Oh brother, this guy stinks. Balled my hoodie up, started taking a nap. I wanted to fall asleep. I've never wanted to fall asleep on a car ride so badly. Let me just wake up and be home. Because what's even going on right now? It was so dramatic, so theatrical. We're also very young at the time, to be fair. You do shit that's very theatrical like that when you're, like, young. But still. To tell me in song, and I think it was, I don't know which one of us it was about. It's just that the lyrics happened to speak to both of our experiences, mine and his. The heart wants what it wants. Save your advice. To have queued that up, like it wasn't, we weren't listening to music yet. She went in her phone and put that on. You're being dramatic and you didn't even do the breakup yet. You don't get to do that. You get your couple of days if you see the breakup through, and you didn't even do that. Longest fucking car ride of my life. And I'm sure that I've been dramatic. I know I've been dramatic for other people while going through something. It is what it is. Everyone's got to have a little moment. It is hard to look back on. When you think back on it, it should feel a little bit embarrassing. But everyone's got to have one, I think. Anyway, that's it for me. Also, I don't know why I always do these little side notes at the end, but it's like, it just comes to mind right before I'm about to turn the camera off. Is anyone else excited about Fable? I'm so upset that we're going to have to wait until fall. But I know that it's going to consume me. It's going to take up all of my time. I will still make time for you, of course, or I'll do my best. But I know that I'm going to be racking up screen time. I'm going to be sat for that fucking game. I'm so excited. Anyway, yeah, that actually is it. That's actually the final thing. So stay safe, stay warm. Leave a sink dripping. That's something I learned on TikTok this week. If you leave one of your sinks dripping, it helps to keep your pipes from freezing. And I don't know. Goodbye.